from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now? The show has begun.
Half an hour of laughter beckons, every minute packed with seconds.
For the next 30 minutes, let's take it from here with Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Jimmy Edwards. Other words and music will be heard from Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn in the keynote, and we have the augmented BBC Review Orchestra conducted by Robert Busby. So if you're receiving us loud and clear...
Joy, Joy, I've got to do something. It's the talk of the college. It's an absolute scandal to think that Bentley, a senior official of the BBC Research College, a public servant, should be found snogging in a broom closet.
Jimmy, keep cool. This isn't anything scandalous. This is the real thing for Dick. At last, he's really fallen in love.
Bah.
Oh, don't be harsh, Jimmy. This may be the making of him. It's his chance to regain his youth.
Regain his youth. Joy, you cannot bring the bloom back into a plum after it's been a prune for 40 years. And stewed pretty often to boot. He's making an arrant fool of himself.
Well, I don't agree. This girl, what's her name? Miss Once-Over Lightly. She's a teacher here. She's intelligent.
Yeah.
I think there's quite a lot to her.
Joy, let's face it, there's 16 stone to her. I know that two's company, but she's a crowd.
But what can you do if Dick and she have really fallen in love with each other?
It's beside the point. One just can't have that sort of thing here. This is the British Broadcasting Corporation. And after 25 years of service to the public, the BBC has achieved a certain name. And it's up to all of us to try and live it down.
Well, I'm sorry, Jimmy. For once, I'm on Dick's side. You may be principal of this college, but you mustn't interfere with Dick's private life. He has a right to follow the dictates of his heart.
But not in my broom closet. I don't know what they were up to in there, but by the time they came out, all the brushes had turned curly.
Well, he's really got it bad, Jimmy, as you'll see. Here he comes now.
Hello, Joy. Jimmy. Hello.
Jolly good morning. Isn't it a wide and wonderful world? And the most wonderful thing in it is Maud Once-Over Lightly.
She's one of the widest, too. Bentley, sit down, old fella. We have something to discuss. I think it's time we had a man-to-moron talk.
Okay, Jimmy, I'm your man. Oh, nothing can depress your spirits when you're in love. Honestly, Joy, I don't know whether I'm coming or going.
Then let me inform you, Bentley, you're going. That is, if you persist in a ludicrous affair with this once-over lightly female.
Jimmy, you are speaking of the woman I love. She may be this once-over lightly female to you, but to me she will always be Maud.
I should think she would be Maud. She's as big as a barge.
Now, look, that's what I don't understand, Dick. I think you're perfectly entitled to fall in love with anybody you like. But why pick her? What has she got that other girls haven't? Besides more.
Well, one cannot explain these things. We were attracted to each other, that's all. I only met Maud in 1896, but I feel I've known her all my life. It's true that she may not have a figure like Arva Gardner. In fact, in many ways, she's more like Jack Gardner. But she's all woman. She has a kiss that would scorch the potato salad right off the table at a church outing. Need I say more?
I should think not. You've had half a page yourself. Well, Bentley, it really looks as though you've got it badly. I suppose the only thing to do is acquiesce.
Surely not till I know her better.
No, Dick, Jimmy means he'll give you his blessing. And I'm sure I will. Will you bring Maud along next week?
Well, she's a bit shy, you know. Especially with people. Yes, you'll have a job getting her in here.
We can widen the door. Seriously, though, Bentley, don't you feel she's a bit, well, you know that Epstein statue near the Albert Hall? Don't you admit she's on the same lines?
She's nothing like the Epstein statue.
I was referring to the Albert Hall, actually.
Well, I admit the first time I saw her, I thought she was a bit heavy, but I soon realized she could give me something that a man like me yearns for.
Companionship?
Money. She has 20,000 quid tucked away somewhere.
And from a look at her profile, I've got a darn good idea where. Well, all right, Bentley, you may go now.
Oh, hang on a moment, Dick. Is there anything you want us to tell the college about this business?
Well, no, Joy. We'll carry on as we are for the time. Oh, there is one thing. Would you like to spread it around that in future, if anyone wants a broom...
Yes?
Would they please knock first?
The acclaimed John Peel with his coat so gay. The acclaimed John Peel at the break of the day. The acclaimed John Peel when he's far, far away with his hounds and his horn in the morning. For the sound of his horn brought me from my bed and the cry of his hounds which he oftentimes bled. Peel's view halloo would awaken the dead or a fox from his lair in the morning.
Tantivy, Tantivy, Tantivy.
Yes, I can, John Peel and Ruby too. Ranter and Ringwood, Bellman and True.
From a fine to a check, from a check to a view.
From a view to a death in the morning. For the sound of his horn brought me from my bed. And the cry of his hounds which he oftentimes led. Feels you halloo would awaken the dead or a fox from his lair in the morning. Can John feel with his coat so gay? He lived at Trump's Lake once on a day.
Now he has gone, gone far, far away. We shall hear his voice in the morning.
For the sound of his horn brought me from my bed, and the cry of his hounds which he oftentimes led. Feels you halloo would awaken the dead, or a fox from his lair in the morning. For the sound of his horn brought me from my bed, but we'll never hear his horn.
Well, Jim, all I can say is if it's happened to Mr. Bentley, it's about time it happened to you. There's your mum, sitting at home, just longing for grandchildren. And up on the hook is the family christening robe never used. Except when they have a boiled pudding.
Jim's mum likes kiddies, Wal.
Oh, she dotes on them. That's how she learnt about Arthur Halliwell's kid.
What happened with Arthur Halliwell's kid?
Well, see, Arthur Halliwell's missus goes into the nursing home and has a baby, which is something she's taken to doing of recent years. And after a couple of days, Arthur comes in a taxi to take him home. Well, he picks up his missus and then goes to collect the baby who's been in a crash.
A pram run into something?
No, a crash where they keep babies.
Oh, crash.
Oh, all right, have it very cut glass. Great. Well, he gets in the crash, and there's rows of newborn kids all wrapped up in shawls, each one looking very similar, like bundles of washing with a red cabbage on the top. Well, Arthur thinks, I wonder which one's mine. And he can't mess about, so he calls the taxis ticking up. So he just takes the nearest one.
He took one at random.
Oh, that's Arthur. He'll always have a base. Well, he pops the kid in the carrier bag and hops into the taxi.
Well, that doesn't seem very satisfactory.
Oh, it weren't. Alf's missus gets the baby, unwraps it, and sure enough, it ain't at all what she were expecting.
In what way?
Well, she'd had a girl. And this one lying on the table, she knew immediate it was a boy by the old blue booties gag. Oh, she's flaming mad. You can just take this back, Arthur Halliwell, she says.
Poor old Arthur Halliwell.
Oh. He's very upset, as who wouldn't be? He rushes back to the nursing home, marches up to the gaffer's office. He holds out the newborn baby and says, here, you'll never guess what's happened to me.
Then what?
In 2 minutes, they shoved him in a bed and called a meeting of the Royal Society. Well, he gets this sorted out, and finally they took the baby back, give him a credit note, and said, hop down to the crash and pick out yawn from the rest of the squealing little horrors. Which he did.
Well, how did he know which one was his?
Well, Arthur runs an oop glass door. So this time, he watched them for a while, then he took the one what was throwing his teething ring over his big toe. So, Jim, if you want to exchange your tiny feet to patter for the patter of tiny feet, take the plunge, Jim Edwards.
Now, if you're ready, Professor Edwards,
yes?
I have here the weekly report.
Oh, good boy.
Well, sir, I am happy to state that the college recording department is increasing its library of human effects. These, you remember, sir, are recordings of the strange noises human beings make under certain conditions. Here's the new batch that's just come in. Number one.
That was Joseph Locke giving his opinion of Donald Pierce's act. Recording number two.
I think you'd better come back. There's something you ought to know. Please come back, will you? Please come back.
That was a cashier calling after a man who'd forgotten his change. And lastly...
Well, personally, I think the view from here is most intriguing. And in fact, I'm going to rest here for a moment and enjoy the...
That was a nudist sitting down on a marble bench.
Finally, sir, we have been examining that immensely popular BBC program entitled Top of the Four, which, as you know, is a competitive intelligence test between children from schools in different parts of the United Kingdom. We were so impressed by those school children that we decided to run a similar inter-school quiz. It was a dreadful mistake.
This is Robert McDonough, and I'm speaking to you from the hall of one of our great public schools, Fish Fryers, the home of the immortal Mr. Chips. Now, all the boys are sitting here in their Eton collars and those little short jackets known as refrigerators. Well, some kind of freezers, anyway. Now, all the competitors were drawn by the masters, and here's the first one. I think he was drawn by Giles. Now, what's your name, Tidemark?
Me, sir? Sir, I am Simon Pelham Quincy de Montfort Fortescue, sir. But all the chaps in Modern 4B call me Pong.
Pong, eh? Well, that's unusual. Pong, hmm. I suppose it's of Chinese origin and probably refers to the dynasty which... I don't know. Could you move a bit downwind? There's a good... Well, Pong, let's start the quiz. Now, Pong, don't stand too near the microphone, please.
Why, sir?
Because the microphone is sensitive.
Why, sir?
Well, the microphone has to be very sensitive in order to pick up vibrations.
Why, sir?
Well, because it has to vibrate in sympathy. They're made of specially tuned crystals, you see.
Why, sir?
Well, because if you... Oh, go and boil your head.
Oh, but I'm awfully sorry, sir. I didn't mean to pry. It's just my psychiatrist says I have a very large bump of curiosity.
You're going to have another one if you don't belt up. Now, answer this question and no more flanneling. The question is on music.
Oh, jolly flipping cheese, sir. I love music, sir. I have a very good ear for music, sir, according to Nathan, sir. Perfect pitch.
Oh, I don't know. She was very nice to me. Anyway... Anyway, here's your question. What is the name of this tune?
Ah, yes, sir. It's called I've Got the Sun in the Morning and the...
Go on, you're on the right track.
Yes, yes. The Sun in the Morning and the...
Moo. Moo. Moo.
Oh, yes. I've Got the Sun in the Morning and the Cow at Night.
Oh, some mothers do have them. What do you think, Gilbert Hardup? Shall I give him one for that?
Yes, and give him one for me, too. Well, I'm in Wales, speaking to you from the girls' school at Llanfwy. So let's have our first question for the girl. And I see that the name of our first girl is Blodwyn. Put down that meat axe, dear, and speak up.
I am not Blodwyn. Blodwyn has been expelled.
Expelled? Why?
I can't bring myself to talk about it. Listen... Found she was in her room with a guard in front of the fire.
Is that against the rules?
This was a coal stream guard.
And the last one.
Mississippi Mud.
Mississippi Mud? Oh, come now. You wouldn't say Mud was the name of a girl.
No, that's what Bloodwind's name is.
I'm glad I met you, you wonderful you. I won't forget you, you wonderful you. You're like a breath of spring, a whole new thing has happened. And without much ado, I look at you, and there stands love, my arms around you. That's wonderful too. I'm glad I found you, you wonderful you. Remember, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And because that's true, you're mine now. You wonderful you. Hey, Dick, come and join me.
I'd love to, Miss Nichols. I'm glad I met.
Wonderfulness, the only word for you.
You wonderful you.
You wonderful you.
I won't forget.
Trying to find what love can do.
You wonderful you.
You wonderful you. You're like a breath of spring. A whole new thing has happened. And without much ado, I look at you and there stands love.
My arms around.
Just what your arms are really for.
That's wonderful.
That's wonderful, too.
I'm glad I found.
Looking around, you'll find there are no more.
You
like
wonderful
you. You hoo-hoo.
Remember, finders, keepers,
losers, weepers. And because that's true, you're mine now. You wonderful.
The college department known as Combined Liaison on Topical Subjects has been examining a current BBC series called Now It Can Be Told, in which little-known military episodes are revealed for the first time. Today we present the personal story of a daring officer in the branch of the services known as the ASS, or Army Surplus Stores. Up to now, this has been jealously guarded for security reasons, but
now it can be sold.
My name is Colonel X, and I worked for military intelligence. Few people know the full story of what really happened in Hitler's bunker that last fatal night. I don't know it myself, so we'll scrub round that one. Instead, here is the story of a man who undertook a dangerous mission. His name, Lieutenant Joe Soap, a simple soldier clad in the traditional uniform of a storekeeper, dirty brown overalls and a bulging wallet.
I was an ATF girl working for Colonel X as secretary or part-time typist. I was known as X with a little 2 on top because the colonel had squared me. I was the one that typed that first message to Lieutenant Soap.
I am Lieutenant Soap. I'd been summoned to Whitehall once before, but that was only for wearing an Air Vice Marshal's uniform, the Hammersmith Panic. As I walked into the colonel's office, I was conscious of a definite tension.
A definite tension? Lieutenant Soap reporting to see the colonel, miss.
Hi, Lieutenant. The colonel will see you in a moment. He's just got the staff list in front of him, and he's deciding who's going to be promoted.
Fourpence on the tramway, threepence on the sea, sevenpence on the railroad, and out goes he. So much for Montgomery.
I say,
Is that the colonel, the man with the red tabs on his shoulder?
Oh, they aren't red tabs. Those are his ears. It's a very cold office.
Ah, soap. Come in. Fag out, lad. Now, listen. What I'm going to say must not be repeated outside these three walls.
It's a very drafty office, too.
Oh, is it?
All right, now, have you flown much?
Only an aeroplane, sir.
Oh. Can't be helped. Now, here's why I sent for you. We want a volunteer. In this case, you, to be dropped on France. We have information that the Germans are building something we can use.
Submarine pens.
Submarine pens?
Yes, those are the pens that ride underwater. We want them. Now, any questions?
I have a question, sir. Is it your opinion that children are hereditary?
Well, I... not that sort of question! Oh, I don't know why I keep you on here. Well, I do know why, but... Now, Lieutenant Soap, this is the first thing. You are to go immediately to a school to learn espionage.
Oh, it's a language I've always been interested in. I promise you I shall speak it fluently. Farewell. I spent 4 weeks in the espionage school. We paired off into couples and were given sticks of dynamite to experiment with. I worked for a time with my partner, but after a while he went off by himself.
A month later, we met at North Holt Airport, which for security reasons I am not allowed to name.
Soon we were over the coast of France, peering down for our rendezvous. In the thick darkness, it was like looking for an eagle in a haystack.
Wait, look, down there. A tiny red light is glowing.
My cigarette end. I'm awfully sorry. I'll stub it out in here.
That's the petrol tank! No, there's our rendezvous. All right, Lieutenant, prepare to jump. Doors open.
Doors open, sir.
Parachutist ready to jump?
Ready to jump, sir.
Right. Go!
Well, looks like she's scared, sir.
You're the one who should have jumped. Oh, clueless clutch. Chuck him out.
Right. Oh! He's gone.
I was falling. All of a sudden, I couldn't remember how many I had to count before pulling the ripcord. I couldn't remember. Frantically, I snatched the book of rules out of my pocket. I thumbed through it. How to pack a parachute. A short history of parachutes. Some dainty things to make from old parachutes. Oh, it's really most interesting. In fact, I don't know whenever I enjoyed a book so much. It really took me out of myself. And there I was with a just...
Five weeks and no word from the lieutenant. Oh, Colonel, do you think he's broken his radio?
He'd better not have. That's a rented set and I'll lose my deposit. switch on to the 33-meter band, leader Paul Beard. And see if we can hear anything.
Hello, England. This is Agent DDT.
Lieutenant! Thank goodness, man. What part of France are you in?
I'm in a tiny little place called Darmes.
Darmes? How do you spell it?
D-A-M-E-S.
Come out of there immediately! Lieutenant Soap, can you hear me? What news? Have you made any contact?
Oh, beg the contact. Oh, yes. I'm all right for nylons, watches, perfume.
Oh, you fool. I knew you'd bungle it. I'm going to send over this ATS girl to help you. Do you speak French, my dear?
Yeah, though.
Good lass. Stay there, Soap, till she arrives. Have you anything further to report?
Yeah, well, I'll let you know as soon as I have further news.
What are you going to do till then?
In the meantime, here is a gramophone record.
Thank goodness you've arrived in France to help me, my dear. Now, here are the details of the submarine pen. I've got a prototype.
Why a prototype?
Because they type much faster than an amateur. Oh, what's this? You're pointing a gun at me.
Yes, you've played right into my hands. I am not an ATS girl.
You're an ATS man?
No. I am a German agent, smuggled into the British War Office. It is now my duty to turn you over to the SS. And you know what SS stands for.
Civil service.
No, no, look, I can't believe it. If you are a German, how is it you speak our language so well?
I was brought up with an English fox terrier. Oh, Joe, don't make me turn you in. Just tell me the strength of a couple of battalions, and I'll let you return. Come on, Joe, what do you know?
I refuse to speak, but tell me, why are you so reluctant to betray me?
Because I have fallen in love with you. I've let my heart rule my head. I couldn't help it. It was your blue eyes, your straight nose, your firm lips, your square shoulders, your rippling arms. Oh, I can't go on.
Oh, go on, for sure.
It's no use. I'm going to let you go. Go. Go quickly. Take the plans. And I only hope that one day, when all this is finished, perhaps there'll be another tomorrow.
There will, there will. I vow I'll wait. I know it'll work out. You'll come to England again, if only for the festival. Perhaps we'll meet on one of the new Dodgem cars. Oh, we're bound to bump into each other. Farewell.
And for meritorious conduct well below the line of duty, I hereby pin this medal on your chest, Lieutenant Soap. I raise you to the rank of Brigadoon. This should be a proud moment for you, lad. Do you read what it says on the ribbon?
No. My eyes are filled with tears. What does it say?
It says, please iron on reverse side. But why tears, lad? You're not grieving for that girl.
No, sir.
Then why did your eyes fill with tears when I pinned that medal on your chest?
You should have waited till I put my shirt on.
Robert Busby and the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynote. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in next week and...
Take it from me.
This program was originally broadcast to home listeners of the BBC.